You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk. Entrepreneur Corner.
And today we're putting the spotlight on a business called Yoko, which I think is one of those fantastic examples of someone spotting a basic need in the economy and then just proceeding to find a way of solving the problem, which is what all good entrepreneurs do. And I'm joined by the CEO, who is in our Cape Town studios. Hopefully there's no gremlins there with the audio. Katlego Mapai, let's see whether we can hear him. Katlego, how's it?
Hey, Eusebius, how's it going?
Good, man. Thanks so much for coming into our studios. Really appreciate it.
That's a real pleasure.
And then your friend and colleague and partner here in the COO, Bradley Watrous. Is that how I say your surname?
That's right, Bradley Watrous.
Bradley, thank you so much for coming in. Much appreciated.
Thanks for having us.
Katlego, I want to start with a business which is almost deceptively simple. It's one of the businesses where when I've told people about Yoko, because I have one of your little machines now, I just now need to start making money. I almost forgot why I got it from you. So many people go, ach, no, man, I thought about that. But of course, if you don't actually act on the idea, then, you know, you can't have regrets. You have first mover advantage because you've now actually solved a problem for so many of us who are small businesses rather than big corporations that can get those massive fancy F&B card machines. What is Yoko? Tell the story.
Hi, Eusebius. So, hi, guests. So Yoko's, in very simple terms, is a very easy way for small businesses to accept card payments. We have two card readers, Wireless Lite, Hello Wireless Pro. You go online, you order it. You have an app that you download. It's a basic point-of-sale application. And the combination of the two things allows you to accept card payments very easily.
And why, Bradley, did you spot this as a potential business? What was the need?
Right. So in South Africa, most people have credit cards. So if you look at the adult population, nearly 75% of them have at least a debit card in their wallet. But under 10% of merchants actually are able to accept card. So when we first got a hold of these statistics, we were really surprised and started to sort of dig a bit deeper as to why is the situation out there. And what we found was that it was really challenging for the small business to both satisfy the criteria that they would need to get one of those terminals from the bank. So access was a real challenge. And then the pricing just didn't make sense. Monthly rentals and fixed fees were difficult for them to maintain in a bad month or in a challenging period. So being able to purchase the device up front and then only pay as they use was something that was quite revolutionary for the SME. So when we sort of became aware of that opportunity, we said, well, how can we actually tackle this and solve this problem for all these SMEs across the country?
Katlego, when did you first encounter an example of this kind of machine? Was it when you were in San Francisco?
Yes, it was actually. So first time I saw it was in 2011. I was on one of my annual trips. I used to live in the Bay Area with my family when I was a kid. And then I saw it again in 2012. But, you know, I saw this technology proliferate across the city. But it was quite a specific case that really created the light bulb in my head. I was walking into a barbecue eatery, real hole in the wall. And this African-American lady, you know, brought out this food for me and my friend. And there was really nothing on the countertop, no till, nothing. And she asked my friend how he wanted to pay. And I was completely confused by the question. I was just expecting it to be a cash-only place. And yes, he said he wanted to pay by card. And the lady took out this old Android phone, you know, stuck in this little dongle, took his card, swiped it. He signed with his finger. And just the light bulbs just started flashing like crazy. All of a sudden, I saw this business that had a good product, but nothing much else.
Yes.
You know, being able to accept a card payment, you know, they were able to accept a larger basket size. And they were formalizing, right? Like, yeah, the lady was running the business from her phone. And, you know, we got a bit lucky. You know, we're four founders in the business. We're four friends. We were looking for something entrepreneurial to do in 2012. And we just kept on getting back to this business model. And yeah, it just kind of worked out from there.
And it's quite nifty. I want you to explain, Bradley, the mechanism itself. The first time I think I paid for something with it was on a Sunday several months ago. I was buying some vinyls. Because I think I've made it in life, so vinyls are now the in thing. And at first you're like taking it back, whoa, okay, you're going to take my thing. This thing doesn't look familiar. I don't see the F&B or the other signs, but you kind of go along and trust that it is a secure system, but it is extremely simple.
Mm. Yeah, so we spent quite a bit of time actually in our first year of operation really getting into this user experience and figuring out what exactly are the challenges that a merchant faces when trying to accept a card from their customer, because it's also quite a stressful point for the merchant. It's the actual point at which you're actually getting the customer to
That's
pay
right.
for that item. So we wanted to make it as seamless and simple as possible for the merchant to do that. So we did a lot of work around the Bluetooth interaction. So just to sort of recap, there's a mobile phone, so the smartphone that the merchant has, and they have the Yoko app on that phone. And then they have a Bluetooth card reader. So it's a small card reader that allows them to then pairing up with a phone to actually do the transaction. And as you can imagine, on the technical side, there's quite a bit that goes into making sure all of that communication happens in those couple of seconds as you're making a transaction. So spending that time up front, really understanding and working with a bunch of pilot merchants. We had about 25 merchants at the time, and just really working through exactly how this interaction should work and where we can shave off even a second of time here or there, really got that experience down.
And I can testify, because I've interacted with you a little bit so far, in terms of how thoughtful your entire team is in making sure that it is as pain-free as possible for the merchant, while being cognizant of what are the kinds of trust and other concerns that a customer might have that you also need to obviously try and problem solve for. But just list for me some of the practical advantages. So, for example, I mean, on a Saturday morning, you go to the bra market here in Joburg, Brad, and you think, oh, gosh, I forgot to go past the ATM, and most of these businesses just want cash. And suddenly, there is a greater possibility that I may end up having my curry after all without needing to lose calories beforehand walking to an ATM.
Exactly. Yeah, so what we find is that, you know, up to 50% of merchants' transaction volume, so their revenues, actually can come through cards. So if you're as a merchant only accepting cash, you're cutting out nearly half of your potential revenue.
That's right.
So what we see is as soon as businesses start accepting card, they're able to open up a whole new range of customers who previously, you know, would maybe have declined the service because they just couldn't, you know, didn't have cash on them or as you say, couldn't get to an ATM in time. Whereas now they, you know, they just have it in their pocket and they can transact whenever they need to. So definitely start to see a bit of a growth in these small businesses as soon as they start to
And the other thing which for me was the tipping point in favor of buying one of these things from you guys is that there's also very simple rules in terms of the admin from me as the potential merchandiser. So the first thing was, I don't even need to have a registered business, right?
Correct.
And I always thought, like, if I'm going to approach a big bank for one of these things, I probably first need to get complicated ways of having, you know, IP around some sort of company that exists rather than me as an individual person. Talk to my listeners about how you simplified what those requirements are.
Yes, so a big difference with Yoko is that when you sign up for us, you don't need to sign up with a bank. You don't need to go through a bank's onboarding process. You don't need to sort of go out of your comfort zone. It's really designed around you as the merchant. And we've done that by starting and sort of saying, what are the key things that a merchant has and needs at their different stages of growth, and what can they provide, what is available, and then simplified it down to the bare minimum. And then what we do is we do a lot of the checks in the background that the bank would typically do. So instead of requesting you to send all of this documentation, we'll actually automatically just verify it against the SIPSI database or verify it against some different banking databases. And then it just sort of takes that burden off the merchant. So you can do a 5-minute sign up. You're just basically on the website,
literally
just put in your ID number, put in your name and address, and you can get up and running, whether you're a sole proprietor, whether you're just an individual trading, or whether you're a company or a trust or a partnership. So any kind of operating model is accepted. And yeah, you just sign up within the 5 minutes, and then we usually vet merchants on the same day. So if there's no issues with your application, you're onboarded within a day and the device is delivered the next one.
Absolutely. So, Katlego, I mean, it sounds too good to be true, but you've got the track record to prove that the simplicity is the beauty of this business model. Can you share with us a couple of the top line facts? How long has Yoko been up and running? What has been the uptake so far? How many of these merchandisers, or whatever the right terminology is, do you now have that are part of the Yoko brand, as it were?
Yes. I'm so happy to share that. So it's been a long journey for us. I mean, we first started looking at this in 2012. 2013, we spent getting a license to operate. 2014, we built the product, got technically integrated with our payment switch, and, you know, got certified by Visa and MasterCard. And then, as Bradley mentioned, we ran a beta program, very quiet, very below the radar. And then October 2015, we really launched the company. And since then, you know, we've acquired over 9,000 merchants on the platform. We're adding close to 1,000 a month now. And, you know, we've processing, you know, over a billion rand now annualized on the platform. So, you know, we're growing really, really quickly. And I think the most exciting thing for us is, you know, more than 72% of our base had never accepted card payments before. And that's a key metric for us. You know, we're in the business of growing this market, right, and providing access. We're not particularly interested in, you know, sort of churning or offering additional services to those who already have. That's a key mantra for the business. And, you know, we'd love to see that number go up to 80%. Then we really know we're taking things to the next level.
Absolutely. I'm speaking to Katle Homopai and also Bradley Watrous, who are the CEO and CEO respectively of Yoko. This is the Entrepreneur Corner. We're going to talk to them about some of the challenges as well when it comes to being entrepreneurs and how it all started. It's 19 minutes after 11.
702 and Cape Talk, Entrepreneur Corner.
22 minutes after 11, we've been focusing this half hour on Yoko, and I have the CEO in the Cape Town studio, and with me, Bradley, the COO as well. I want to backtrack just a little bit. Often entrepreneurs in this country have great ideas, but struggle to be able to get the necessary funding. What was your guys' journey, Bradley? Because although eventually you managed to raise some decent dollars, I think initially, as is often the case, it wasn't necessarily smooth sailing from the start.
Yeah, definitely. So we started, as Katlego mentioned, back in late 2012 and then spent 2013 self-funded. So each of us had a little bit of savings left from our previous jobs, and that really got us through that first year. But during that time, we spent a lot of time just building some relationships with friends and family and some angel investors to tell them about what we were doing and saying we were busy applying for this license to operate this card solution. So as soon as we got the approval then from our banking partner, we went back to them and said, we're ready to raise a small seed round now. Would you back us? And this was a really important thing for us, getting these angel investors behind us at this early stage. And they really funded us through those first 2 years of operation, getting to the point where we could get to market and start to scale up. And then following the success of that last year, we then, you know, we had a viable business with a business model that worked, and we had a growing merchant base, and we were able to then get sort of foot in the door with a number of venture capital funds.
And Katlego, let's share the love here with entrepreneurs that, you know, are not all Ellen Gray Orbers, people with great social capital and networks. What are angel investors, and how does one get to persuade someone sitting somewhere in Europe to contribute towards, I don't know, eventually something like what, $560,000? Because there are many entrepreneurs listening aspirationally to this slot every week. So why don't you share with them exactly what that means? What is an angel? Sounds like a lovely word.
Yeah, it is. So an angel investor is basically an individual investor making sort of a minor contribution to an entrepreneurial venture. In our case, you know, we did try to raise money in those early days from institutions, but we weren't operating, you know, we hadn't started, right? We basically were trying to get to a license. And this was very difficult for us because we almost felt like we were failing before we started. And even with the angels, we still felt like we hadn't got into where we wanted to in terms of funding. But on the contrary, what we found was, you know, having this group of individual investors, whether it was friends and family or, you know, their networks or other networks that had been built through our professional careers, we had a very engaged group of people emotionally invested in the success of our company. And through those ups and downs, they really carried us, right? They just sort of told us to keep going. So I think this was a very, very valuable lesson for us in terms of the types of investors that you want in your early days when you're still forming, when you still can sort of change direction a little bit. You want people who are emotionally invested as well as financially invested.
Absolutely. Some wonderful tweets. I can't get through all of them, but love this one from Andilin Tulu, kind of like sums up the rest as well. Says, Eusebius, I'm just loving the Yoko discussion. Such great innovation by young South Africans who are the future of this country. Absolutely. That is the case indeed, Andile. In terms of how your business operates, how many people do you employ? What are your biggest expenses? Or is it a simple business to set up?
So, we're at the moment at around 70 people on the team. It is a fairly complex business to get going. There's just quite a few different moving parts. You've got the technology side of the business, which is really around the software development, building the app, maintaining the servers, and doing the sort of back-end systems. Mm. And then you've got the support team, who spend a lot of time dealing with all our merchants and making sure that if there's any challenges, we're proactively reaching out to them and helping them to solve whatever it is that could be an issue. Mm. And then we've got the commercial team, who are out there actually telling new merchants about Yoko and making sure that merchants can get on board in a sort of streamlined and straightforward way. And then the finance and data team, which also then help to really just analyze the business and make sure we're on top of things. So sort of these four units all work together, and it did take quite a bit of time for us to really set up all of the organizational structures and systems to get that all in place. Mm-hmm. But now that it's there, it's really a platform that we can use to scale and grow into the future, something that is scalable and works for the longer term.
And to this point, from Andilin Tuli on Twitter, Katleho, you guys are young South Africans. You are doing the most. You are demonstrating how, you know, assumptions about the entrepreneurial spirit of young people who supposedly just want things given to them is absolute nonsense. The people that you employ amongst the 60, 70 or so, I would imagine they also, like you, very savvy about tech and about the possibility of bringing more people from a financial inclusion point of view into the economic fold. Are these typically peers from an age point of view who are part of this business?
So it's a combination. We were quite lucky, once again, with the early social capital to be able to bring in, you know, peers, people we'd worked with before. Even the four of us coming together was a symbol of that, right? Mm-hmm. Lungisa, our CTO, I've known him since childhood. Carl, our chief business officer, we worked together at a consultancy. Bradley and I worked at a venture incubation firm, a German one. So that helped, right? And then that sort of started to spawn off in terms of the early team that we brought in. And we really perpetuate this, right? Bringing in like-minded, customer-orientated people passionate about SMEs and into the business. And also, you know, there's all this talk about millennials and, you know, how do you manage them and the like. We see it in the complete opposite. I think if you look at millennials, their capacity to learn is incredible, right? They're so-called internet natives. And, you know, you basically give them a goal and they know how to figure out how to get there. So we just have this team that's innovating at all levels. And in that sense, we've also been able to set ourselves up to operate in a very independent, autonomous fashion. And that's allowing us to move very, very quickly and to remain very customer orientated. And then Eusebius, I think something I wanted to just touch on during the show, which I think is so important, and it also sort of links back to the previous segment in terms of the state of the economy, right? So, you know, we've seen the economy flatline for quite some time, and, you know, now we're officially in recession. And, you know, we saw this coming for quite some time. And we fundamentally believe that the future of commerce in this country, in this region, is through SMEs, right? So, you know, on average, across the region, SMEs are driving, on average, about 50% of GDP, 90% of employment. In South Africa, it's a bit lower, so it's about, sure, you know, 34% of GDP and 60% of employment. But if you think about the fact that we have 9,000 entrepreneurs on our platform that knew nothing about each other, right? They're together now. And we somehow syndicated them together, and we sort of interact with these guys day to day. And we see that these guys are employing, right? And they're in the communities and they're doing relevant things. You know, if there's any sort of downturn, they have to adjust and they do it very quick. Mm. And in that sense, they're very resilient. So we're actually quite excited about the future because we're operating at this sort of level of the economy that was quite dark, right? There was no visibility on it. But all of a sudden, we're syndicating these guys. And, you know, in the organization, we're super excited. I think we're seeing a bright future through SMEs. And, it's really exciting.
Well, you guys are very inspirational. Some great responses to people listening to this as well. So all the best for your business, Katlego, and for that broader vision within which you are situated. Even during the down times, there are opportunities for those who think positively and innovatively. On a final note, Bradley, I haven't even had time to affirm the brilliant careers you guys have, but you know that, and you're both humble up until now, with your actuarial background, with Katlego's business science background and management consulting as well. But I just wanted to ask you, many people listening may be interested now, knowing that there are fewer hurdles to be able to use a card machine for their businesses. How can they get hold of you, of Yoko, of your staff, of your company?
Great. Yeah, so there's a couple of ways. So the easiest is just to go to the Yoko website, which is www.yoko.co.za. Otherwise, you can also, you know, punch it into Google and it'll definitely come up. Mm. And also look out for our adverts. We definitely...
They are everywhere. You can't miss them. Yeah, absolutely. I'll also tweet those details for you as well. Katlego and Bradley, thanks so much for sharing your story, and all the best with your business.
Thank you so much, Eusebius. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks, Bradley.